السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام، صدق الله العظيم. My respected elders and friends, all praise are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our nourisher, our sustainer, for having blessed us with this Mubarak day, blessed day of Jummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the reality of this day in our hearts and this deen in our hearts and all the ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with in our hearts and in the hearts of all mu'mineen till the day of Qiyamah. Respected brothers, as we know, the cry and the worry and concern, we made quite a bit of mention of this, that to establish a center here in Redmond, a masjid whereby people can get together and whereby people can be proud of something, you know, that as far as Islam is concerned, something has been erected. And like I mentioned before, that this was the first concern that Rasulullah had when he came to Madinah Munawwara. Muhajirin also did not worry about building their mansions and their homes and palaces, but rather they all pitched together, they all worked together, they all put their hands together and built the Masjid al-Nabawi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know in those days there were not many fancy things. There were no lights also. But the light that emanated from there went to the four corners of the world. What was in that masjid? Because why today we have different notions as far as masjid is concerned. We say it must be a welfare center. Yes, it must be welfare, alhamdulillah. Rasulullah looked after that aspect also. It was a place whereby Rasulullah received the deputations from the different parts of the world also. That also took place. We can understand the situation here in America compared to our home countries. You know, our home countries is, it's only for ibadah and so forth, alhamdulillah. And we don't have the other facilities. Today, if you go back to Masjid al-Nabawi also, the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are scholars there who are much more learned than us. You go to the Haram in Makkah also, there are scholars there who are much more learned than us. And along the years also, during the Khilafat, after the Khilafat also, there were such scholars who were much more learned to us, who were than us. And we know as we go towards Qiyamah, the knowledge of deen is going to come less and less in the people also. So we cannot claim that we are more learned than those people. We cannot claim that we are more learned than those people. They also looked into the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, they looked into the ayats of the Quran, they looked into the lives of the Sahaba, and they also deduced laws from there also. Now, people raise these objections. Why isn't the masjid like this? Why isn't the masjid like that? Why can't we have this function? Why can't we have that function? But the primary objective of the masjid we have all forgotten. I'll give you examples. That when there are halqas taking place, alhamdulillah, it's good to have halqas. People get educated. But then, emphasis is given on the halqa rather than for what the masjid was established. The masjid was established so that the five times prayers can be said with jama'ah. We give no importance to the salah with jama'ah. We find it. We'll find, brothers, that they will come for the halqas, but the importance of salat was jama'ah is not in the heart. Now, is that the importance only of a halqa? What was in Masjid al-Nabawi that drew people? What was in Masjid al-Nabawi that made that light go to the four corners of the world? It wasn't only the halqas. It was the amals that were carrying on also. People feel that the masjid should be, you know, only a Baytul Mal. The concern is only about the Baytul Mal. But there is no concern about the people not inhabiting the masjid. The masjid is not what you put inside the beautiful the chandeliers or the beautiful rugs, carpets that you put. The beauty of the masjid is the people that frequent it, that come for the five times salah. Pray their salah was jama'ah. Even the munafiqeen at that time found it difficult to merge the salah to fajr and isha was jama'ah, according to some narration. Because you would have been exposed. Everyone made it a point of performing their salah was jama'ah. And Rasulullah exhorted them, encouraged them. to this point that I mentioned that Abdullah ibn Makhtum radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I am a blind man. I cannot see objects at night. I cannot feel my way. I find it difficult to come. There is nobody to bring me at night to the masjid. Do I still have to come to the masjid?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him no. And as he was leaving Masjid al-Nabawi, Rasulullah asked him, "Oh Abdullah, do you hear the azan? When the azan is called out, do you hear it?" "Yes, Rasulullah, I do hear it." He said, "Then you should come to the masjid." This was the importance of coming to the masjid for salat with the jama'ah. But today we have forgotten this. We feel that no, the masjid must be only for welfare, where there is no little welfare. These things happen from a masjid. But that is not the objective of the masjid. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make the ibadah of Allah. Yes, we can say welfare is also a form of ibadah. It is a form of ibadah. But like, you know, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah ta'ala, rahmatullah alayhi, so beautifully he said it. At the time of his, when he was leaving, people told him, "Ya Umar Abdul Aziz, you have not stockpiled anything as far as the Muslims are concerned. As far as the Baytul Mal is concerned. Everything that came you gave away." What was his answer? He said, "Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come to build a treasury. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come to build a treasury." The objective of the masjid, respected brothers, is whereby people can come and remember Allah. Connect themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One who opens the door to begging is like opening a door to kufr. People will be more dependent on wealth rather than being dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People have to be taught. We have to learn how to depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah ta'ala is enough for him. This iman has to be instilled in the people. This iman has to be learned. This iman has to be taught. Rather than just opening a welfare organization and say, "No, now come for everything." No. We don't say, "No, don't have." But these things are done. Today in the Makkah, today you go to the Haram and tell the imam, "Why don't we have this?" They say, "We have different offices for that now." The need was at that time, because that was the only center. Now we have different offices. Alhamdulillah, it's taken care of. You go to Masjid al-Nabawi, same thing. It's taken care of. Different places, taken care of for all the Muslims. But the main objective of the masjid is to see that the amal is established. The amal of salah, that whereby everybody can realize, every male can realize that he should perform his salah with jama'ah. And this was the function of Masjid al-Nabawi. And this is what made, you know, people, the attracted people to Islam. When, is it not on?
It's not on, it just needs to be closer
to
your mouth.
This way is on or this way? Respected brothers, there were four amals that were prevalent in Masjid al-Nabawi. When these four amals will come alive in every masjid or under any structure or anywhere, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this amals will bring deen alive. Because emphasis, if you look into history, because emphasis was sometimes given to one certain amal, what happens? The whole effect of deen did not spread. That is why you will find in many, many places where there were big, big masajids, where there were big, big masajids, they turned into vice dens. Masjids were closed, masajids were closed. Sometimes it happened, masjids became a center of amusement. People just frequented those places, you know, for touring purposes. Like it happens in Spain and nowadays. Because why those amas are not prevalent? What were the amas in Masjid al-Nabawi during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The first amal was, dear respected friends, was da'wat. That whoever came into Masjid al-Nabawi was told about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was instructed about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that believe in one Allah only. Believe in this Allah to fulfill every need of yours. Believe in this Allah who is your creator, who is your nourisher, who is your sustainer, who is in control of everything. It is only Allah who will give you comfort. Only Allah will give you success. This was taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every day when Rasulullah, he spoke on Iman. To raise the level of Iman of the people. Inviting them towards the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Dawat. Dawat does not only mean, you know, inviting, giving the kalima la ilaha illallah. You must believe in Islam. You must believe in the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. And bear witness that there is no Nabi after Rasulullah and he is the final Nabi. Finish. You forget about the person. No. Dawat is when you keep on reminding the brother about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By him listening more about Allah, the level of his Iman is going to increase. Just like how the body needs food to sustain itself, the soul of ours needs the words of Allah, needs the kalam of Allah, needs the talks of Allah, for our soul to be nourished all the time. So that the soul of ours will be inclined towards good. Will incline towards good. This is the object. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. This is the asal, to invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah did not say, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ or مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى الصِّيَامِ or مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى الزَّكَاةِ. مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Towards Allah, inviting towards Allah, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make people understand, the child must be also told from the small age, all the way, throughout his life, the child must be made to understand. Allah is a doer, Allah is a creator. It's not I who do, it's not my business, I'm your father, Allah is just only made me a means, but Allah is the doer. That reality of Allah must come in our hearts. And that reality was explained to the people who ever came into Masjid al-Nabawi. That is one aspect where da'wah was taking place. The second aspect that was taking place, respected brothers, in Masjid al-Nabawi was ta'lim wa ta'allum. Where the learning and teaching was taking place. People that came to Masjid al-Nabawi, they were taught about deen. And they were told to go back to their places and to teach it to the people there also. And for what reason? So that they can find their way to Jannah. They can attain Jannah, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What the Abdul Qais, when they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teach us such knowledge. Teach us such knowledge by which we can وَنَدْخُلُ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ, by which we can enter Jannah. The knowledge of deen. The knowledge of deen. In Masjid al-Nabawi, the knowledge of deen was taught. Now nobody says don't learn about the knowledge of the dunya. The knowledge of dunya must take you to Allah. If it does not take you to Allah, then this knowledge is a destruction for you. This knowledge is a destruction for you. If you cannot recognize Allah through the other knowledges, science is also important. Maths is also important. Biology is also important. I mean, how is that? Like one scientist a few months ago, a very young man, he came into the masjid. He's all worried and concerned. So I spoke to him. I said, "What is it?" He says, "I've studied biology. I've studied science, and in everything I see that there is a supreme being controlling everything. And I cannot understand my Christian beliefs or my Christian upbringing. I believe there is something." It's some supreme being in control of everything. What? It is a science of reading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is biology that he studied that has made him realize that there is one creator, one nourisher, one sustainer, one being who is in control of everything. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Einstein could not understand that. So that knowledge that people came into Masjid al-Nabawi were given that knowledge. And there were people who were prepared to teach also. The Sahaba used to teach those that came new to Masjid al-Nabawi. So learning and teaching was also taking place. Da'wah was also taking place at the same time. Learning and teaching also was taking place at the same time. Also ibadah and dhikr. They used to make ibadah in Masjid al-Nabawi. They used to spend most of their time in Masjid al-Nabawi. You spend a lot of your time in Masjid Nabawi. Some you might raise objections. Yes, they used to work also. They used to go to their fields. They used to go out on travels, whatever it is, business. But when they were in Medina Munawara, they used to spend a lot of time in Masjid Nabawi. And they used to make sure that they used to come for Salat wa Jama'ah. The dhikr used to take place also. We find a hadith whereby Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes and sits with a group of people making a dhikr of Allah. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to sit with people like you who are remembering Allah morning and evening. Today we feel masjid is only a place of gathering, we're going to meet our friends and finish. Come last and go out first. No. The value of the masjid is coming out of our lives. The value of salah and jama'ah is coming out of our lives. The value of the first jama'ah. Today we say no masjid, alhamdulillah. If I don't make it for the first jama'ah, I'll get the second one. Now the value of it is out. One who will, value takbir al-ula, it will be very difficult for him to merge the first rakah. One who values takbir al-ula, it will be very difficult for him to merge the first rakah. One who values the ameen of the malaika, because he realizes, after reading Surah Fatiha, when the imam says ameen and the muqtadi and all the people behind say ameen, and if the ameen coincides with the ameen with the malaika, the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives for that, when will one know this? When he will know the fadail of this? For how many years Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned fadail before the masail came? So today we say, no, we have to know, Bukhari, we have to know Muslim also. But what about all the fadail in Bukhari? What about all the fadail in Muslim? What about all the fadail in Abu Dawud? What about all the virtues in Nasai? What about all the virtues in all the other hadith kitabs? There is no way in the Quran that says that you must only listen to Bukhari and Muslim. Yes, this, as far as the Asanid was concerned, the Sunnahs were concerned, they were regarded as the most authentic. But it does not mean that we must discard all the other hadith from the other hadith kitabs, where they are sahih and mustanad hadith that have been narrated by the rawis. Yes. So fadail also we have to learn, and the masail we also have to learn. Both were taught in Masjid al-Nabawi. And also the fourth thing, the ikram was being made. People that came, they were looked after in Masjid al-Nabawi. Now some of you might feel that I'm contradicting myself. Well, I mentioned there shouldn't be welfare. No, I don't say there shouldn't be. The masjid can take charge of the welfare, but it doesn't have to be from the masjid. Because people will think that it is only for the masjid. Like I mentioned, people come to the masjid only for welfare. When you ask them to time for salah, oh, I cannot make, I'm too busy with my job. You have not asked Allah to make it easy for you. You have not linked yourself to Allah. You have not put your case to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put your matter to Allah and Allah will make ways for you. Today in this country also, because you see we were brought up in this country, the environment is such, sometimes we tend to think like that. If we as Muslims, if we are stern, if we make a resolution within ourselves, within myself, that I as an individual should at no time, give up the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or be prepared to compromise the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My goal in life is, alhamdulillah, I must have a very good earning, alhamdulillah. But this earning should not distract me from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is a job that will give me certain amount of money, but the job does not allow me to say my Jummah prayers, and there is another job that will give me less amount of money, but I can get my Jummah salah, then that first job of mine is no good. That job of mine is going to lead me away from the remembrance of Allah. Where the second job of mine, though I will earn little bit, that will connect me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where we find it difficult sometimes. To make that individual choice with us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah sees that you are sacrificing something there, where you could have got some more money, because for the sake of Allah, that is when the mercy of Allah comes down. Allah looks at you with mercy. Then Allah starts making things easier for you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. One will fear Allah. He will fear Allah, bringing himself that taqwa, that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will make a way for him. Allah will give him sustenance from which he never even thought of. All these realities have to come in our hearts. Because during the time, if you look at it, people started giving emphasis on a hadith. Hadith spread. Hadith became apparent, became well known to the people. You go to Bukhara, Samarkand, Tashkent, all these places. These were places of learning. Hadith spread throughout Kufa, Basra, all those places. But the other amals were not given importance. What happened? Those aspects of deen flourished. But then the time came when the other aspects died down. Then the time came after hadith where the dhikr, the tazkiyatul nafs, people were involved in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they did not realize that Rasulullah SAW came for everything. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْكِتَابِ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَيَزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ Rasulullah SAW was everything. He taught everything. He taught them knowledge. He taught them about how to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He taught them ibadah also. And he encouraged them to learn, to earn halal risk also. Everything Rasulullah SAW taught. It wasn't just emphasis on one. The cry right now, respected brothers, is to bring about these amals in every masjid. This da'wat, ta'lim wa ta'allum, ibadah, dhikr, ikram, khidmat. Khidmat of people, not only of Muslims, about the people around also. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kind to the non-Muslims. Imagine, I mentioned this before, that non-Muslim who was tied to the pillar for 3 days, captured by the Muslims. And 3 days he is observing the amals of the Muslim. 3 days he has been given food by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First day Rasulullah asked him, what should I do with you? O Nabi of Allah, why didn't you free me? Rasulullah keeps him there. He observes the amals. Second day, Rasulullah asked him, what should I do with you? Why don't you free me? Still keeps him tied. The third day, end of the third day, Rasulullah asked him, what should I do with you? He said, why don't you free me? Rasulullah frees him. He doesn't even go 100 meters, respect. And he comes back and says, present the kalima to me. Because why? The amals that were taking place. The ikram that was shown to him. The ikram that was shown to him. And besides, he was hearing the words of da'wah from Rasulullah SAW. He was hearing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, I don't say that the masjid should only be for salah finish. No, we should have worry and concern. My brother who is living near the masjid cannot come for fajr salah. There is something wrong. Allah is giving me the tawfiq. Am I worried and concerned about my brother? Am I worried and concerned about the Muslims around who are living around the masjid, but they cannot come for Fajr Salah or Isha Salah? Do I realize what the consequences can be if the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come down? Am I just content with my Salah? Am I just content with my Dhikr? Am I just content with my Tilawah? No, respected brothers. We have to have this worry and concern for one another. That if you are not coming to the masjid, what is? Are you sick? Are you unable to come? Are you bedridden? Your vehicle not working? Are you immobile? Can I offer you a lift? Can I give you a hand? During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even a sick person used to be carried by two people to the masjid. We find the hadith. We find this in the hadith books also. This was the importance. But today we say, because something is on our heart as far as the welfare side, oh, why can't we become a wealth? Why can't we worry about the welfare? No, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of. We have to connect that human being, that brother and sister, to recognize Allah. If you're going to give him all the time, you are going to spoil him. He must learn to take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the avenues is the salah. Salah is the way where we can take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The importance of amal should come into the lives. That is why an effort is taking place today for us to change our yaqeen. Yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the yaqeen that my needs will be fulfilled through amal and not through amal. And to realize our responsibilities as the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That how does deen can reach the four corners of the world. And with this in mind, respected brothers, there is an effort that is taking place throughout the world. Like I mentioned last week, send your youngsters. If you have, make the time and you go out yourself also, and you will learn. As far as, which is known as, whether you call it Tablighi Jamaat, whether you call it this Jamaat, whether you call it this movement, or that movement. I urge you and I encourage you, give some time to that and see the benefits of it. With regard to that, inshallah, that next week, there'll be an ijtima in Vancouver also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates these avenues for us, these environments, whereby we can hear about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, we see the effect of it. By just few percentage of the ummah doing this effort, Allah is showing us certain results. Imagine if every ummati has to realize this. If every ummati has to realize this as my responsibility, what results Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us? And then today we worry, why are our masjids taken away? Why is this happening? Why is that? Because why? We as Muslims have not realized our responsibilities. The amal that should be taking place in the masjid, those amals are not taking place. Our masjids are locked from salah to salah. The airports are open 24 hours, supermarkets are open 24 hours, but you find the masjids closed. Masjid al-Nabawi was open 24 hours. There were people there all the time. We have to bring our masjids on that level. So inshallah, next week Friday, after Jummah, Saturday and Sunday till Dhuhr, inshallah, the Ijtima will be taking place in Richmond, in Vancouver. Every one of us should try and go there and encourage one another. Those of us, because of our papers and visa, we cannot go there. At least try and make dua, oh Allah, you make it a means of hidayat for the four corners of the world. Today people are gathering for this purpose, just to remember Allah. It will be very difficult. Where Rasulullah said, when people from different nations, different tribes will gather just to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send His sakina, the tranquility will descend there. Malaika will enshroud that gathering also. And they will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will remember them in front of the angels like how they are remembering Allah in front of all the people also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq. Wa ma'alayna illa billah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
سبحان فخيم الاسم غزير العلم واسع الحلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمد عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالصدق فإن الصدق ينجي والكذب يهلك وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين ولا تقنطوا من رحمة الله فإنه أرحم الراحمين ولا تحب الدنيا فتكون من الخاسرين ألا وإن النفس لن تموت حتى تستكمل رزقها فاتقوا وأجملوا في الطلب وتوكلوا عليه فإن الله يحب المتوكلين وادعوه فإن ربكم مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين بارك الله لنا ولكم القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم الآية والذكر الحكيم إنه تعالى جواد كريم ملك قديم بر رؤوف ورب رحيم ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصيهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على محمد عبدك ورسوله وصل وسلم على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجي وذريتي. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أصحابي كالنجوم بأيهم اقتريتم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم من بعد غرضا، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، واخذل الكفرة والمبتدعة والمشركين. اللهم شتت شملهم، اللهم مزق جمعهم، اللهم دمر ديارهم، اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم، واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم. اللهم ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين، ونجنا برحمتك من القوم الكافرين. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم ربنا توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم، واغفر لنا إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله تعالى يذكركم وادعوه يستجيب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وعز وجل وأتم وأهم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. قوموا للصلاة.